On behalf of all of us here at Grace, we want to say Merry Christmas to everybody. This is Christmas week, and I know a lot of activity will be taking place for so many of you. Some will be traveling. And so our prayer for you is that the Lord will bless you in all that you do, and every gathering that you have, whatever season that you are in, that the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Jesus Christ will be with you, each one. And I want you to join with me in saying thank you to these pastors that you just saw in the video, our staff, volunteers. What an incredible season we have experienced here at Grace. I am so, so proud of you and just the way that you've worked and the way that you've given, your generosity that Pastor Gary just talked about just a few minutes ago. It has been an amazing Christmas season at Grace, perhaps one of the best ever. Would you join with me and just say God bless you and thank you so much for all that you have done for us. We praise God for that. It's been a very powerful week. A lot of you prayed. Monday night was the meeting in Trafalgar with the Planning Commission concerning angel care, and there was just a great turnout there, and we praise God, 5-1, it passed, and so angel care is ready to go to build, and so I was joking with somebody afterward, even the one who voted no was squirming in his seat. I mean, you could tell he is wrestling with Jesus, and it was pretty awesome to behold, and so we praise God for that. In just a few moments, we're going to share communion together, and we're going to have some carols by candlelight, but before we do that, I want to share with you a very simple message from Luke chapter 2, verse 10, a Christmas for all people. At the very first Christmas, remember what the shepherds announced to the angels. In verse 10 of Luke chapter 2, the angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for some people. For a few people. For people like us." Now, I want you to notice, this really jumped out at me this week as I was preparing for today. I bring you good news. Anybody would like to have some good news? There's been some bad news, you know. Good news, the angel said, of great joy that will be for all people of all time. 40 days after Jesus is born, you remember that Mary and Joseph take the baby to Jerusalem to be dedicated in the temple. And there they meet this elderly priest named Simeon. And God had given Simeon a promise that before he dies, he would see the Messiah for himself. And when he sees the baby in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, look at what he says. He says, "I have seen the Savior you have given to all people." There it is again. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. Did you notice two times in the Christmas story, those three words are prevalent? To all people. For all people. Christmas is for all people. The message of Christmas, the message of Jesus, the good news of Jesus Christ, it's for you, it's for me, it's for people not like you, it's for people not like me, it's for people who don't look like you, it's for people who don't look like me. Jesus is for everybody. Christmas is for everybody. The phrase "for all people" is mentioned twice in the Christmas story on purpose because nobody is excluded from Christmas. That's good news. Nobody is excluded from the Christmas story. Good news of great joy to all people. One of my pastor friends posted this on Facebook this week. It was so good, I copied it. He said, "The shepherds were outcasts. The wise men were foreigners. Mary and Joseph were refugees. God's redemption story is inclusive and inviting, and we should be too." You know, at Grace Assembly of God, we take this for all people thing very seriously. At our church, we are a church for all people, of all different shades of melanin: Anglo, Hispanic, African, African American, Asian, Asian American. We are a church for all people, all backgrounds, all ages, young, middle, older than young, right? We are a church for all people. So I want to say it from the very, in case there's any doubt, in case there's any concern, we're a church for everybody. We are a church that welcomes everybody because the grace of God, the good news of Jesus Christ, the message of Christmas is for all people of all time. Put your hands together and praise God if you are grateful for the message of Jesus. Now, I want to share just a few observations from the Christmas story for all people. Here's the first one. God shines his goodness on all people. God is good. God is good. And the scripture says, God shines his goodness on all people. You know, a lot of people think that God is only good to people who are good. But if you're bad, God's bad to you. It's kind of like karma, where it's the idea that God smiles on me only when I do good things. Now, the problem is they're confused. They're confusing Jesus with Santa Claus, right? Santa Claus is the guy who's making a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty or nice. You better not pout. You better not cry. Any of these songs resonate with you? You know, he knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for good. That's not in the Bible. None of that is in Scripture. The Bible says in Job chapter 25, verse 3, God's light shines on all people. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, he causes his sun to shine on all people, both good and evil. And he sends rain to both those who do right and those who do wrong. God shines his goodness on all people. God doesn't withhold his goodness from anybody. God is good to atheists. God is good to people who rebel against him and his word. God is good to everyone, the scripture says. Matter of fact, Psalm 145 verse 9 says, the Lord is good to everyone. He is good to everyone. Say this with me. The Lord is good to me. I know you may have to speak that by faith, but you can speak it by faith because right there it is in God's word. In Titus chapter 3, verse 4, when the goodness of God appeared, he saved us. Do you know what the goodness of God is? Jesus. When the goodness of God appeared, Jesus is the goodness of God. The Bible says he saved us. That's good news, right? Now, what the Bible teaches is the exact opposite of what our culture teaches because the world says you get what you deserve. Right? If you're not getting the goods, then you're not working hard enough and you need to just buck up and get in gear and try harder because you get what you deserve in life. In Buddhism, that's called karma. And I'm hearing this word in our culture more and more and more because karma is this idea. If bad things happen to you, it's because you've been bad. And good things happen to you because you were good. And terrible things happen to you because you've been terrible. Karma says you get what you deserve out of life, and if you've been a bad person, God's going to get even with you. But karma isn't much comfort if you experience a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake or if you're battling cancer. How do you explain that? It's my fault? Are you kidding me? That's a very empty way to live. You know, if you fall into a ditch, Buddha says, hey, that's karma. You're here in the ditch because you deserve to be in that ditch. You must have done something bad. Other religions walk by and say this or that, but Jesus walks by, sees you in the ditch, and says, can I help you out of the ditch? That's called grace. That's the goodness of God. How many know that's the difference of Jesus and everything else, everybody else in the world? It's the goodness of God. Aren't you glad that God doesn't operate by karma? God operates by grace. Do you get what you deserve in life? No. Thank God for the amazing grace of God. If you got what you deserved, if we all got what we deserved, we would have nothing. But that's not how God works. God shines his goodness on everybody. Somebody say amen. I read a story about Robert Reiser, who was a pilot in the Vietnam War. And when his plane was shot down, he was captured and tortured for 32 days. And he spent the next 7 years as a prisoner of war and 3 years in solitary confinement in complete darkness. I want you to imagine 3 years in one small room, complete darkness. You know, that would drive most of us crazy. But he describes those 3 years as the essence of despair. And he says the way that he kept his sanity during those 3 years in the dark was amazing. He pried the lid off the floor drain in his prison cell, and he lowered his head into the opening of the drain. And as he did so, he could see a ray of light through that opening or that drain and one blade of grass. Reiser said, that little ray of light and that little bit of color was like a daily blood transfusion for my soul. I would begin each day in prayer, lying on the floor with my head down in that drain vent. And focusing on that little ray of light and that single blade of grass, I'd talk to God. It was my faith in God's goodness that kept me going through all those years in darkness. Come on, somebody. It's our faith in God's goodness that keeps us going through all of our years in darkness. Not only did he survive, he later got out and returned to the Air Force, finished out his career, and actually retired as a brigadier general. I don't know what darkness you're in right now, and maybe you can't see, or you can't find your way, and this Christmas is kind of tough, and you don't know which way to go. My challenge to you this morning is look for the goodness of God, because God shines his goodness on all people. You know, sometimes we just need to look at the obvious, don't we? When we get in bed at night, thank God I've got a bed. You know, if I drove to church today, thank God I've got a car. It's cold outside. Thank God I've got clothes. It may be the simplest things, but how many know God shines his goodness on everybody? And that's what we want. At Christmas, God's goodness came in human form through Jesus. And that's what God is like. God is good to everybody. Amen? Here's the second principle from Christmas that I think it's important is for us to know is God is not just good, shines his goodness on everyone, but God showers his love on all people. God showers his love on all people. Psalm chapter 145, verse 9. Just so you know, I'm not making this up. He showers compassion on all his creation. I want you to notice the imagery, the words that are chosen on purpose. Psalm 42, each day the Lord pours out his unfailing love. So he uses words like shower and pouring out. He's not talking about a dribble. If you've ever been on a missions trip, or if you've ever traveled in a foreign country, or especially a third world country, you know what it's like to stand under a dribble, all right? It takes a while to get clean, if you know what I'm saying, right? So the Bible doesn't say God dribbles out his blessing on everybody. God just gives you a little dab. No, I love it. It says it twice. He showers. We used to sing it as a kid. Showers of blessing we need. Never mind. Let me be clear. God loves us unconditionally, and we're glad about that. But that does not mean that God approves of everything you do. How many know unconditional love does not mean unconditional approval? Any parents in the house know what I'm talking about? Do you love your kids? Yes, you do. Do you approve of everything they do? No, you don't. Do you still love them anyway? Yes, you do. My wife doesn't approve of everything I do, but she still loves me. God loves you unconditionally. However, that does not mean that you can do whatever you want. God, that does not mean that just because God loves you that it doesn't make God sad or even angry in our sin. In other words, God is not saying to you, do whatever you want, go ahead and ruin your life, mess it up, do whatever you want to do and ignore me. No, God doesn't say that at all. He doesn't approve of that, but in spite of that, he loves us. He loves us so much, he gave Jesus for all people. Here's the third thing I want to share with you about Christmas. God shares the pain of all people. He's the suffering God. He doesn't just shine his goodness. He doesn't just shower his love. He shares the pain of all people. Aren't you glad today that we serve a God who understands? We serve a God who sympathizes with us. God is not some cosmic force, some impersonal thing like in Star Wars. May the force be with you. No. We don't have a God like that. We have a God who became flesh and dwelt among us and walked where we walked and experienced what we experienced and felt what we felt. Why? Because Psalm 33, verse 15, God made the hearts of all people. That's everybody, right? God made the hearts, it's all throughout the Bible, all people, so he understands everything they do. Nobody here today can say, God doesn't understand. God doesn't understand how I feel. God doesn't understand what I'm going through. God doesn't understand these thoughts I've having. The scripture says the exact opposite. God is the one that made your heart. God is the one who designed you. God is the one who made you. No one understands you more than God understands you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses since he faced all of the same temptations that we do. You know, when Jesus was born at Christmas, he wasn't exactly born in the lap of luxury, was he? He wasn't born at the Ritz-Carlton or the Sheraton. He was born in a barn. He was born in a dirty little town to a teenage girl who was flat broke, poor, with animals surrounding them. How many know you can't get much lower than that? The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses because he faced everything that we face. So listen closely. Jesus knows what it's like to feel abandoned because he's been abandoned. If you've ever been betrayed by anybody, Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed. If somebody has been unfaithful to you, Jesus knows what it's like to have people be unfaithful to him. He knows what it's like to be criticized. Jesus knows what it's like to be accused falsely. He knows what it's like to be lonely. He's experienced that. He knows what it's like to be tired and fatigued. He understands bigotry and prejudice and racism. He knows what it's like to be outcast, to be put down, to be discriminated against. Jesus knows. Because he walked through all of those things. Jesus understands physical pain. There may be people here today or people watching online, literally your body is hurting right now. I want to remind you that Jesus knows what you are feeling. His death was death by crucifixion. You may remember one of the cruelest ways in all of history that anybody has ever devised to execute somebody. That's how Jesus died. Jesus understands physical pain. Jesus understands mental anguish as well. Remember on the cross, the Bible says that Jesus took on all the sin and all the guilt of sin of all history at one time on himself. Do you know what it's like to feel bad for doing something or feeling guilty for doing something bad? Anybody know what that's like anymore? Guilt? That's horrible. That's a horrible feeling. But the Bible says all the guilt of all of history, of all time, of all sin, of all crime, of all anger and all hatred, one time. No wonder Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So if you're here this morning and you're in mental anguish, Jesus knows how you feel. Matter of fact, the Bible says, I love this, in Romans chapter 8, when we are in pain, when we are suffering, look what the Bible says the Holy Spirit is doing. When we're weak and we're tired, God's Spirit is right along. This is from the Message Bible, in case you don't recognize these words. God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying and for us making prayers out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. You know what that means? When I'm in pain and when I'm hurting and when I'm broken, the Bible says, God is praying for me. That's almost as mind-blowing as the incarnation. God became flesh. How does God pray for me? Who does God pray to? Himself? But I want you to understand the scripture says that God's praying for us. So where is God in the midst of your pain? Where is God in the midst of your struggle? He is right there, weeping with those who weep, rejoicing with those who rejoice. That's the God that we serve. And he's never closer in your life than when you're brokenhearted. The scripture says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and those who are crushed in spirit. So let me encourage you. When you're going through that pain, don't run from God. Run to God. God, I don't know what to do. Well, guess what? God knows what to do. And the safest place is with Him. You know, why is it when people go through trouble, one of the first things they shout is, "Oh God!" I think if you're not saying the Lord's name in vain and it's an actual prayer, I think that's something that God has built on the inside of all of us. That we know that we're in trouble. We need God's help. Here's number four. I'm almost done, and then we're going to receive communion together. Number four, God sacrificed His Son for all people. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible says, Jesus sacrificed Himself for all people to free them from their sin. Jesus sacrificed Himself for how many people? All people. To free them from their sins. The angel announced it at the night of Jesus' birth. Good news to all people. What was the good news? In 1 Timothy, Paul says, it's the sacrifice of Jesus. The good news is that Jesus sacrificed Himself for all people so that we could be part of the family of God. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Christmas, without the cross, is irrelevant. That's why if you were here this past weekend for the Singing Christmas Tree Spectacular, right in the middle of it, I gave a gospel presentation, and it could not be more black and white as I presented it. I had people at the back door as I was exiting, and one of the guests said, "I'm really amazed that you took time to do that." And I reminded them, I said, "This is why we do this. This is why we have the indoor snow and all the stuff and all the parades." And I said, "We're just trying to get the gospel of Jesus to them." And 3,600 people did, right? Listen, I didn't go into the ministry so I could stand before a crowd of people two or three times on a weekend. I went in the ministry to take people to heaven with me. I received the call of God because God gave me a burden for lost people. Jesus sacrificed Himself for all people. That's why we're here, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Christmas and the cross go together. The Bible says He died for everyone. Now listen closely, because we say amen when we're sitting here on Sunday morning, but that also means He died for your neighbor. He died for your enemy. He died for that person that hurts you. He died for that person that doesn't look like you. He died for the person who's the opposite of you. Jesus died for all people. And that leads me to the very last one. God is going to share His home with all people who believe Him and accept Jesus. You see, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, John gives us a picture of heaven in the book of Revelation. God allows John to see what heaven is going to be like. And here's what he describes. "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" So John has this ability. God allows him to see into heaven. What does he see? He sees all people, all kinds of people, people from every country, people that speak different languages, people who have different religious backgrounds but put their faith in Jesus. The heaven will be home for all people who accept Jesus. That includes Jewish people who put their faith in Christ to save them. That includes Muslim people who put their faith in Jesus Christ to save them. That includes atheists who put their faith in Jesus to save them. Come on, somebody. Heaven is going to be home for all people who put their faith in Christ. That's why this past Sunday in our Christmas offering, I shared story after story after story. I'm not even sure if you could call last Sunday's message a sermon. It was story hour. But it was awesome to hear what God is doing in the heart of the Middle East. There is a revival taking place in the hardest places of the world. And just this past week, I received a message, a prayer request, really, from one of the leaders of those teams who are serving in those hard places. Let me read it to you here. He said, last week I asked you to pray for 9 believers who were recently arrested for their faith. Here's more information. These men were all imams, leaders of mosques, who have been secret followers of Jesus for some time. They felt they could no longer in good conscience be imams because of their new faith in Jesus. So they recently went public with their new faith in Christ. As a result, they were all relieved of their duties. Religious authorities tried to persuade them to return to Islam, but failed. A local extremist group has stirred up their extended families and communities. There are now credible death threats against these men. Authorities arrested and placed them in protective custody for their own protection. It's been 1 week. We do not know how long they'll be allowed to remain in protective custody. If released, they will probably face death. Please pray for these courageous and godly men who have openly proclaimed their faith. Now, I share that for 2 reasons. Number 1 is because I want us to pray for our spiritual family members, those who are suffering around the world, just like these men have. But I also want to remind you that this testimony, this story, is happening in the exact same city of all those stories I shared with you last Sunday. Did you hear me? It's the same city. See, Pastor, what's going on? God is clearly moving in these last days, drawing all people to himself. So, Lord, we pray for these family members. Lord, who had the courage to trust you as Savior. We pray that you would deliver them, God. We pray that you'd be with their families. We pray you give them strength. God, all around the world, this family of God, of every tribe and every tongue and every nation, God, we pray for them, for one another this Christmas week, especially for those who are suffering and those who are persecuted. We pray, oh God, that they would have hope. We pray, oh God, for supernatural grace. We pray you give them strength. And God, we pray that you would bind our hearts together. May there be no division in the body of Christ, because you have died for all people. You have given us the gospel for all people. May our hearts be bound together for the sake of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I want you to watch this video, and then we're going to come back and pray and receive communion.
Mary, my betrothed, you have the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen and the sweetest smile.
Don't be afraid.
I'm the Lord's servant.
Help us! Please!
Lady, I believe your son is the promised king of his people. What is his name?
His name is Jesus.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
Mary,
and
he's
this
here.
Child that you baby boy would calm the storm with with his hand. Didn't you know that your baby boy has walked where angels try? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know?
My son.
Mary, did you know? Ooh. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again.
Come out of him.
The lame will leave, the dumb will speak, the praise is out. Mary, did you know?
Tell me who you are.
That your baby boy is Lord of
Jesus.
All creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect? Sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Ooh.
Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? In this room this morning, the angel said, to you is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Good news to all people. I wonder if there are those here today, for whatever reason, you feel excluded. You feel left out. Perhaps you feel as if God has abandoned you. Or maybe you've bought into the current culture's thinking that, you know, bad things are happening because I'm bad. God's mean to me. God doesn't like me. God doesn't love me. Nothing could be further from the truth. Do you know what else the Bible says? The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. It doesn't say some people or a few people. Everyone. The Bible says whosoever will may come. That's you. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too far gone. You've not done too many bad things for you to receive Christ. This gospel is for all people. This gospel's for you. And with heads bowed and eyes closed here on this Christmas Sunday, I can't think of a better thing to happen to you than for you to freely receive this gift of life through Jesus Christ. You know, one day, your heart's going to stop. And it will be the end of your heart, but it won't be the end of you, because you're going to go on forever, your soul, for trillions and trillions of years. And God wants you to be part of his family. He sent Jesus to die for you so that you can be with him. He's created an eternal home for you, for his family, for those who choose to trust him and those who choose to follow him. This morning, if you are not following Jesus, if your heart is not right with God, I want to pray with you. And I want to lead you in a very simple prayer of faith in Jesus Christ. Not magic words by any stretch, but the beginning of a journey of following Jesus Christ. Would you pray this with me? Dear God, thank you for your goodness to me. Thank you for loving me and caring about every detail of my life. Thank you for sharing my pain. Thank you for sending Jesus to save me. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. Today, I choose to receive him as my Savior. Please forgive my sins and accept me into your family. I want to follow you every day of my life. Holy Spirit, give me power to serve you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God praise for the gospel of Jesus Christ for all people.